Welcome to episode 38 of Beyond the Desk, a podcast of West Dallas Public Library. In this episode, we talk about Come and Get It by Kylie Reed, who has an ear for contemporary dialogue and a way with complicated, empathetic characters. As in her first novel, Such a Fun Age, her latest deals with issues of class and power. Stay tuned for our deep dive into this campus novel. I'm Sarah.
I'm Megan.
I'm Tiffany.
Today we're going to talk about Come and Get It by Kylie Reed. She wrote Such a Fun Age, and I was really excited about reading her next book. Welcome, Tiffany, to the podcast. Since it's your first time, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here.
Yeah, I am a library assistant, so I assist patrons at the information desk with holds, finding items in the library, technology. I've been with the West Dallas Public Library about 8 months now. Before that, I was in the creative field. I had my own photography business for over a decade, but have always loved books and worked at a bookstore in my college years. So library has been a great fit for me.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you and your photography talents because you have used them here, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's great to be able to connect the two.
Before we get started talking about the book, I'll mention a little bit about what it's about. The book is really a campus novel. It focuses on money a lot, and there are a cast of characters, but primarily it focuses on three point of view characters. There's Millie, who's a resident assistant, and she's 24 years old. She took some time off college and returned. She's very interested in saving up for a house nearby. And then there's Agatha. She's a professor who is at the University of Arkansas for about a year. She's going to be teaching some classes, and she also is planning on writing a book. First, she wants to focus on people's attitudes about weddings, but as she starts talking to a few of the young women, she becomes really fascinated by their relationship with money. And so she changes focus, and with Millie's help, she starts eavesdropping on their conversations, and she takes notes, and she ends up not using it for a book, but she gets an opportunity to write a series of articles for Teen Vogue. And then the final primary character is Kennedy. She is an undergrad. Millie is her RA, and Kennedy is living with a couple of other girls in the suite. We don't find out right away, but eventually she's dealing with a situation that happened at her last school. So she's a transfer student. She's trying to start over fresh and make friends, and she's really having trouble making friends, unfortunately. Some people are really good at making friends. Kennedy has a little bit harder time, and that comes into play as the book progresses. What did you guys think of it?
Kylie Reed did a really great job of touching on a lot of different topics that I think everyone goes through, especially women, when you're coming of age in a situation of higher education. We all can experience this thing in the same place, but based on our race and our class, it's going to be different even though we're in the same space. I also think she did a great job of incorporating mental health and how that impacts people differently based on their background, even though they're sharing the same space, like the three roommates that are in the suite. They are all dealing with that situation very differently. Also, I think the theme of we're basing people off the surface level things, but everyone has a story, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not going to know what that story is unless we get to know them. But the surface level things are preventing us from knowing what that story is.
That's a good point. I think she does a really good job of, even while showing people's maybe faults and foibles, she is very sympathetic to their background, where they're coming from, previous events in their lives, all that's informing what is going on now. And I think that it's really helpful for a reader to get that background. For example, I didn't particularly like Kennedy, but hearing her story, I really felt for her. And the same thing with the other point of view characters. Millie, I liked the best. I mean, she was very relatable, and I could see where she was coming from. But Agatha does some questionable things, but then you do get a lot of her background and you understand where she's coming from too. And even if you don't agree with choices that she makes, I still think that she's not a bad person. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think with Agatha in particular, I think the author did a great job. You do get to understand her motivations, her situation, kind of her mental state and how it's affecting some of the choices she's making. And at the same time, you still get like some of the vibes of like her being very reserved and sometimes withholding. And as a reader, you can feel that. And then you see how that has played out in like her past relationships or how it's playing out in her current situation. So I thought she did a great job of showing, not telling, and making you feel the way that maybe other characters might feel when relating to the others in the book. And I thought overall it was more interesting than I thought it was going to be when I started. Mm-hmm. The first two chapters or so, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this. And like when they first started, they were talking about weddings. I was like, those first few pages, oh, really? Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And then it got more interesting. And I was like, oh, these people are all so layered. And we get to see these really familiar dynamics. If you've lived in a dorm and you've dealt with these different personalities and these relationships, these familiar dynamics with these people you don't know. And so that was really enjoyable. I mean, I kind of liked seeing Agatha make bad decisions. Like, it was enjoyable. I anticipated at the beginning that it was going to be the college kids making all the really bad decisions. And like, they certainly do make poor decisions, but it was kind of nice to see an adult also mess up and not have it all together. Because I think it kind of changed the dynamic a little bit, where it wasn't this really professional woman who has it all together and is perfect judging these young women. It was all of them have issues. And all of them are struggling to make the right choice. I was like, oh, Agatha, like, none of this would pass an IRB board. Like, you are in so much trouble. Like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. So that was kind of fun. I also was excited because Agatha, her official tenure track job is at DePaul University, and that's where I went to undergrad. So I was like, hey. And then I started like, ooh, I wonder if this is based on a real DePaul professor. And I started thinking about all the professors I knew who could maybe fit her mold. I don't think any of them would be as ethically murky.
Yes.
Disclaimer.
I do think Agatha's behavior is a statement on what money and power can get you. Mm-hmm. Because someone else doing the same things that Agatha did,
yeah,
without the power and money that she had,
yeah,
the outcome would be very different.
Yeah. There are several situations where I was coming from a position where obviously I don't have that kind of money and power. And I was like, how is she going to get out of this? And then it was like, she just paid somebody off.
Yeah.
And it resolved. And it was this real statement on what that gives you access to.
Yeah.
What kind of mistakes you can make if you're able to buy your way out. And that wasn't available to some of the students.
Right.
And so seeing that dynamic is pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And sad.
Well, I think you bring up an interesting point. She paid characters off, but she didn't have to.
No.
She chose
yeah.
to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she ends up paying Millie some money, and Millie really wasn't expecting it and kind of didn't want to take it. And she also pays off Tyler, who is a very interesting slash annoying character. Tyler is one of the other students in Kennedy's suite. So Tyler and Kennedy and Peyton all are in the suite together. There's a single and then there's a double room. And Tyler finagles it so that she doesn't have to share with Kennedy. That's kind of how originally it turned out, that Peyton was going to get her own suite. And that dynamic and also the separation of Kennedy from the other two indirectly leads to some of the events, because it isolates Kennedy. Peyton and Tyler, I wouldn't say that they have a close relationship, but they're closer. Tyler greets Peyton more warmly than when she sees Kennedy. So Tyler is kind of an instigator too, with some pranks. They decide to prank the RAs, including Millie. And it's really interesting that Tyler's at the end trying to cause trouble for the university, and she is asking Agatha to make her an offer. And Agatha tells her, well, what do you want? And she's just like, make me an offer. So that whole situation is really interesting, and how it differs from the interaction with Millie and Agatha. Obviously, they have a different relationship too, but I thought it was interesting to see that play out.
I think that Tyler and Agatha aren't much different. Mm-hmm. Like, there is the age difference, mm-hmm. but in a way, it's kind of like Tyler is trying to figure out her power and mm-hmm. what kind of influence she can have over people, mm-hmm. whereas Agatha has already kind of figured out how she can manipulate people with her resources, mm-hmm. and Tyler is kind of like an Agatha in training, almost, that she's, you know, this is a person who has much more power and resources than me, but I'm still able to manipulate them. Mm-hmm. And to me, I thought it was interesting to see them side by side, even though there's, you know, the age difference in between. It's like generations of power, right? Mm-hmm.
They both viewed a lot of relationships as transactional. Mm-hmm. And so when they finally are sitting next to each other at that end scene, I was kind of excited to see them together because mm-hmm. it kind of felt like equals meeting in a way.
Sure.
Because in a lot of those other situations where they had been viewing a situation as transactional, the other person maybe wasn't. And finally it was like, they're both here and they're both here to like get what they need out mm-hmm. of this moment. And so I was sort of excited to see them go head to head a little bit. I would love to see, I don't need a whole book, but maybe like an epilogue, what happened to some of these girls later. Because I do think Tyler is learning how to manipulate, how to get what she wants, and I think she's already viewing so many things as transactional as that plays out later. I don't think that's healthy, but obviously it works for people like Agatha.
I thought Tyler was kind of a mean girl, and it would have been interesting to get her backstory because we don't really know all that much about her. She is in the dorm because she got a housing scholarship, and Tyler's dad is in prison. She's dealing with some stuff too. We just don't get as much background and we don't get her point of view. I think she probably would be a little more sympathetic if we got that background. She's definitely one of the mean girls in the mm-hmm. book. What did you guys think of some of the other characters like Peyton or Jenna and Casey? Jenna and Casey are Tyler's friends.
I mean, Jenna and Casey, I think we get such broad strokes of them because we really only hear their conversations that Agatha is eavesdropping on for the most part. So they come off as these flighty young girls who aren't very serious, pretty shallow. There's one scene where they sort of surprise Agatha by then kind of like going deeper, but then they like change the subject again. So I didn't really spend that much time thinking about them. Mm-hmm. I mostly thought these are Tyler's friends because she's in control in that relationship. Like they're people that she can kind of direct. They didn't feel like they had power in that friendship. Tyler was in charge. Mm-hmm. They were her minions.
Yeah.
And then Peyton, I was really interested by. I wanted to know a lot more about her. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel?
I think that there's a theme of the thin line between where you become an adult mm-hmm. and these girls are just trying to figure out how to grow up and mm-hmm. be an adult, but they still have these adolescent ways about them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're younger, most of your friends are just like you, right? You're mm-hmm. friends because you love all the same things, you want to do all the same things. And as you get older, you have your friend that you go to brunch with, you have your friend that you go to book club with, you have your friend that you go on a walk with. And with Millie too, she's much older than them and she's trying to figure out how to have these friendships in this arena where people are still clinging to, I need to be a clone or a minion of mm-hmm. the popular girl or whoever has the power. So I wasn't very much interested in them because they were surface level characters. Mm-hmm. But Peyton too, I was very interested in because mm-hmm. I think she was trying to figure that out. She was trying to be true to herself and then she found that one friend, mm-hmm. but she didn't need a huge group, right?
Yeah.
And even you overhear conversations between Peyton and her one friend, and they're not always agreeing, but they're able to have these adult conversations.
She felt much more mature than the other girls.
Absolutely. Yes.
I wish we could have gotten her perspective on everything that went on in the suite, because I feel like she was more mature and she was more measured. I would have loved to see what she thought about Kennedy.
Her main interaction with Kennedy is from Kennedy's perspective, where she's like on her constantly to clean up her dishes.
Yeah, right.
Which I thought was kind of funny, because it seems like, of course, from Kennedy's point of view, that Peyton is really anal and doesn't even give her a chance.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if Peyton had, at least from Kennedy's point of view, if she had just kind of given her a little bit more wiggle room, maybe Kennedy would have taken care of things. But it's almost like there's this rebellion of like, if somebody's asking you to do something, mm-hmm. well, you know, I have a right to not do it right away. And and then I think there were some legitimate situations where she just like forgot, she fell asleep or whatever. Also, it's interesting because of the climax of the book or the big incident that happens. I wasn't anticipating
that. No.
What was going to happen. He knew something was going to happen with Millie and Agatha, and it seemed like something was going to happen in the suite with these girls, but I didn't anticipate what it was.
No, that was really out of left field for me. All of the tension of kind of Kennedy's backstory without revealing what it is. To be totally honest, I thought it was going to be something much more traumatic. Not saying that it wasn't traumatic, what happened, but I thought maybe it was also like a reflection on like when you're young, something can feel like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow older, you realize that is a sad situation and people didn't treat her well after it, mm-hmm. but it really wasn't that big of a deal. It was sad. It was awful. It was an accident though. As an adult, if something like that happened, I think people would have a lot more grace and like treat people better, or you'd hope they would. So I had been waiting and waiting for this reveal. And when the reveal came, I was like, oh. It shows you how young she really is.
And the way that people reacted, that was really difficult for her. And I think it also impacted her ability to make friends.
Yeah.
It's like she really did isolate herself.
Yeah. And she couldn't move past those feelings or like find a way to deal with those feelings. Whereas I think if that had happened to even Millie, I mean, Millie did. She took a year off of school. She helped her mom. She had hard things happen to her, and she was just a little bit more mature and could deal with it better. So maybe just even reading it as an adult, you're like, oh, they are so young. They let this thing completely derail now two school experiences, you know?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed reading Kennedy's perspective because there was like that kind of mystery of like, what happened to this girl?
I did wonder how this book would be received if it was labeled as a young adult novel, because I feel like the impact on younger students or even another library assistant and I were speaking about how when you're transitioning from high school to college, there's not really a place for you as far as books. If you haven't graduated to mostly adult fiction, a lot of the young adults sometimes seems a little too juvenile, but then where do you go, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like this novel would be great for someone who's maybe a sophomore or a freshman in college because they're still able to connect with those feelings and maybe be able to relate to the characters a little bit more and what impact going to college has on your mental health, because all of these characters show different ways your mental health is impacted when you are taken out of your comfort and put into a brand new environment where it's a brand new environment for everyone. So I thought it might be better suited as a young adult novel or whatever that group of books would be.
There's this new like marketing term they're using called new adult. Which I mean, I feel like I've seen it used for the last several years, but I don't feel like it's widely known outside of booksellers and library conferences. I don't know that it's used all that often, but I think this would be a perfect book for that age group.
And that's what it's for. It's for like kind of that age.
Yeah, it's kind of for really late teens, like 18, 19, and then like early to mid 20s, where you're kind of still figuring your life out. You're an adult, but are you really? You know, and we might not feel like an adult, even though the world's trying to treat you as one or something like that. And it usually does have a lot of the pacing or the plot driven structure of a YA novel, but with protagonists that are aged up a bit and are going through slightly more adult struggles, which I think is a good thing for people to have. I don't feel like there are enough books like that that kind of help you navigate that. Even coming of age novels are really focused on high school, but you change so much after that. Those late teens, early 20s are such a pivotal time, even just for your brain development. I mean, your brain isn't fully developed till you're 25. There's a lot going on, and it's nice that there are books that can show that and give people something to relate to.
Absolutely.
I think there are books out there, and I think there always have been. Like, I think about when I was in my 20s, I was reading a lot of career-oriented books, like chick lit type of books, where it's a young woman who is maybe living in New York and her first career or whatever. I think that maybe, like you're saying, with the new adult category, maybe the book business is trying to market it now and make it easier for people to find, because they have been just adult books.
It's a big world of adult books. It's hard to find what you're looking for.
I guess I thought that beginning interview, the legitimate interview that Agatha does with Tyler, Casey, and Jenna was interesting. Kylie Reid can really capture the way of people speaking and also what's happening currently. I mean, technically this book I think is set like in 2017 or something like that, but it feels very current. And I thought it was interesting to hear Jenna talking about practice paychecks, for example.
If only.
I will still accept practice paychecks if anyone wants to give me one.
Yeah.
A little extra.
So her father, I think he was an orthodontist, gave his children these practice paychecks where they really didn't do anything to earn the money. To me, that sounded very questionable about like
the legality.
Exactly.
Of
yeah. Because it sounded basically like it was an allowance, mm-hmm. a big allowance
yeah.
that they were getting. And it didn't have anything to do with his business. I mean,
right.
obviously that's how he afforded to pay them, but to make them quote unquote employees, I think that sounded very curious. It was really interesting to see all the different characters and their different backgrounds mm-hmm. and how that came into play. I kind of liked that Peyton found a different friend and didn't become buddy-buddy with Tyler, because I kind of thought maybe that was going to happen initially, because Tyler said, oh, I want a room with you, Peyton, that she was going to try to turn Peyton into one of her minions, but Peyton was her own person and wasn't really interested. Oh, I wanted to mention that when I read this interview with Kylie Reed about this book, she mentioned that she was inspired by another book, a nonfiction book. It's called Paying for the Party, How Colleges Maintain Inequality, and it's by Elizabeth A. Armstrong and Laura T. Hamilton. And we do have that book in the system if you're interested in reading a nonfiction account of what's going on with colleges. It's the inspiration for this book. I thought that was different. You don't usually hear that somebody is inspired by another book like that.
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting.
When I went to school, I went to school in New York, and I was much older. I think I was 23 at the time that I went, and I was a roommate with an 18-year-old who was from a very small town in Canada, and it was interesting to me because I related to a lot of the things that Millie was going through, because my roommate at the time, I was like the second Black person she had ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And years later, she told me that after she found out I was her roommate, she called her mom crying because she was scared.
Oh, no.
And she was like, you know, I just didn't know anything about Black people and I was scared. And she's like, now you're one of my best friends. It's interesting how being in college can put you in that situation uh-huh. where you may not ever think that you would be there. And it changes your whole perspective on something so huge, right?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. And I don't know if I saw that really in the characters in this book. I think while Kylie Reed makes sure that race is an issue or apparent that things are different, I don't think that she really focused on anyone changing their perspective on it. Millie and the other people of color in the RA system kind of banded together,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of them against these stereotypes that people had.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I didn't really care for, because sometimes I think that can be overdone in books.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's a message of saying that there is difference in treatment,
mm-hmm.
but there are people who are willing to change their mind, and there are people who are willing to learn, and I think it would have been beneficial to maybe have something like that, so it wasn't so one-sided. Sometimes I feel like authors are so eager to make sure that the point of view of people of color is being heard that they go a little too hard, mm-hmm. and then people don't want to listen, right?
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. I feel like Millie is very aware of her residents of color and what might happen to them, or like when the prank happens, like
mm-hmm.
she's very like, well, what if it had been this student who,
yeah.
you know, like, but then you don't see the students themselves really talking about it.
Right.
She's really focused on Millie. So you're right. They didn't really show the students themselves interacting or discussing it. It was very focused on Millie and Josh and some of the other RAs.
I will say that Such a Fun Age deals a lot more with race. It deals with race and class, and I think that Come and Get It is more focused on money
mm-hmm.
and consumerism and class.
Yeah.
But they are similar in that there are characters that are morally gray that you have mixed feelings about. So I think if you like Come and Get It, definitely read Such a Fun Age. It's not a campus novel. It's about a woman who is a nanny. She's a Black woman, and she's a nanny for a white couple. And the opening chapter, she's going to a grocery store with the child that's in her care, and somebody thinks that she's kidnapping the child because she doesn't look like the child. So anyway, that's kind of the inciting incident of that book. We read it for book club here, for Books and Coffee, and people really liked it.
I've heard very good things about it. I have been wanting to read it.
That one's also, I think, a little bit faster paced.
Okay.
It is a really quick read. I had a different relationship with Come and Get It because I listened to it and I thought the reader was really good. She was able to deal with the different characters' voices really well. She performed them really well. It was a really good book to listen to.
Did you read or listen?
I listened.
Okay.
I do think that the audiobook was pleasant to listen to. It did feel a little long. It did take me a little bit longer to get through than other books. There is another book that's relatively recent. I think it's from 2023. Everything's Fine by Cecilia Rabiss. Similar, talking about power in class, mm-hmm. and how a female black stockbroker and then a male white stockbroker go to the same school and then end up at the same firm. And how they are able to navigate that world. It's what Come and Get It reminded me of, mm-hmm. but was for a more mature audience.
That's a good suggestion.
What do you think the title means?
Right? I wondered that myself. Her last book, the title made sense in a few different ways, or at least a couple of different ways. I'm not sure what Come and Get It means.
It's also a pig on the cover.
So I thought the pig was from the Halloween decoration scandal.
Okay.
And so then I was like, is this pig reference got to do with Come and Get It? I didn't really understand what the pigs were referencing in the Halloween thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, is Come and Get It part of that?
These characters are trying to build a life for themselves. They're in the stage of life where they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they have these large aspirations. Some of them are dating a very specific breed of dog. and it's like, what will you do in order to get that? And mm-hmm. it's like your possibilities are limitless, but you have to get it, right? You have mm-hmm. to navigate all the obstacles, no matter what they may be, to achieve or receive whatever it is that you're going for. It's all possible, but you have to come and get it.
Okay, I like
that's
that.
That's pretty good. If anyone else has an idea,
yeah,
we'd love to hear your theory.
All right, thank you both for reading Come and Get It and talking with me about it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Desk. You can find the book titles we discussed in the show notes. Be sure to tune in again next month when we talk about The Hunter by Tana French.